The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin and the Tzarek Vov, Seif Omed Beis. The Gemara brings Omalei Rav Nachman the Rav Yitzchok. Rav Nachman said to Rav Yitzchok, Misha Mieloch Amos Osi Bar Napli. Did you perhaps hear when Bar Napli is coming? Bar Napli means the one who has fallen. Omalei man Bar Napli. Rav Yitzchok answered Rav Nachman. He said, who is Bar Napli? Who is the one that has fallen? Omalei Mashiach, the Mashiach. Mashiach Bar Napli, Korishalei. Do you call the Mashiach Bar Napli, the one who has fallen? Omalei Ein, yes. Diksiv, Bayemahu Okim, Esukas Dovid Anopholis. That on that day, when the Mashiach will come, Hashem will stand up, will erect the sukkah of David, which is fallen. So therefore he referred to the Mashiach, which is the descendant of David, as Bar Napli, the fallen one. Have you heard when the fallen one is coming? Omalei hochi omar Rabbi Yechanan. So he answered, this is what Rabbi Yechanan taught. Dor sheben David bo, the generation in which the descendant of David will come, Talmidei Chachomim Mishmaitim. The Talmidei Chachomim will lessen. They will become few. Bahashar Einehem Kolos B'Yogin V'Anochi. And the rest, their eyes will dim from all of the problems and the troubles. B'Tzores Rabbeis U'Gzeres Koshes Mishchatshes Atcha Rishena P'Kudish Nima Maheres Lovoi. And the tzoris and the decrees will be so difficult that the minute one is over, another one already is coming. Tona Rabbonin Shvua Sheben David Bo, in the Shemitah, the 7th year period in which the Ben David will come, Shona Rishenim Miskai Mikrozer, the 1st year of that 7th year period, Vimtati al ir achas val ir achas le amtir. There will be partial drought. Some cities will have rain and other cities will not have. Shnia, the 2nd year, Chitzeirov Mishtalchim, there will be more severe famine. Shlishis, the 3rd year, Rov Godel, Umesim Anoshim Anoshim Betaf, Chasidim Danshim Aisov. There will be a great famine, and many men, women, and children, and people of stature will die. V'terem mishtakachas milemdeho, and Torah will be forgotten from those who study it. V'revis, the 4th year of that 7-year period, which the descendant of David will come. Seva ve'ena seva. There will be great abundance in some places, and other places not such abundance. Chamishis, in the 5th year, Seva Godel, great abundance all over. Eichlin, Vesheisin, Usmeichin, Vetere Chezeris Lodeho. And people will eat, and they will drink, and they will rejoice, and Torah will be returned to those who study it. Shishis, the 6th year, Kolos. There'll be great Kolos, great sounds, thunder. Some learn that the news will travel that the Mashiach is coming, and others learn Tkia Shofar. Shenema Yitoka B'Shofar Godel. We will hear the sound of the great shofar. Shvi'is, the 7th year, Milchomes, there will be a great war in which Israel will destroy all of its enemies. And after the year, after the 7 years, Ben David, the son of David, will come. So the Gemara is saying that in the era, the tekufa, preceding the coming of the Mashiach, there will be great tzoras, problems, decrees, evil decrees, and so on. And in the 7 year period which precedes the Mashiach, the first year will be partial drought. The second year will be a famine. The third year will be a great famine. And it will cause devastation to the people and to the Torah. Fourth year will be abundance, partial abundance. Fifth year, great abundance, great happiness, and Torah will be returned. Sixth year will be thunder, the shofar, and we'll hear the news. Seventh year will be a great war in which Israel will destroy all of its enemies. And then after the seventh year, in the eighth year, the Ben David Bo, the descendant of King David, will come. And the Gemara goes on further, and all with the same theme, that the period preceding the Mashiach will be a very downward period in history. For example, later the Gemara brings Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Ben David Ben David Dosh Ben David Bo Bei Beis Avad Yelesnus. The houses of the wise will be turned into houses of promiscuity. V'Hagol Golil Yichorev. There will be destruction. Anche Gvul Yisheviv Mimir Leir. People will have to look far and wide in order to make a living. Chokmas HaSeifim Tisorech. People will no longer respect the Torah, or those who fear hate, those who seek decency. the faces of the leaders of the generation will be like the faces of dogs. Or emes nederes, the truth will disappear from the world. Further, the Gemara says, "Bas koma be'ima," daughter will stand up against her mother, and a kala keneged chameso, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the young will not have honor for the old. And so on. The Maral Prague in the Sefer Netzach Israel, the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis, asked the question. Everything that we see in the world goes through a process where, when it first comes into the world, it is not complete. It is not yet in totality. It grows little by little. It matures. Till eventually, it reaches its total growth. Eventually, it will reach its maturity, its shlemus. This is a principle that we have in the entire world. Why is it, therefore, that here with the era of the Mashiach that we're speaking about is just to the contrary? The world leads up to this point. it aspires to this point. So it should slowly grow to this point. It's just the opposite. We see from the Gemara that the period prior to the coming of the Mashiach will be one of the worst periods in history. It'll be a very, very bad period physically. Famine speaks about great inflation in the Gemara, difficulties in making a living, and a very, very bad period for Israel, and a very bad period spiritually, where Torah will become to a new low ebb. Torah will be forgotten. Truth will be lost from the world. And so on. So this is just contrary to the principles that we find constant in the world. This is the question he asks. This period is known as the Ikvas of the Mashiach, as the Mashiach approaches. And on that he answers. He elaborates in Perek Lamed Beis and Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dalet, Lamed Hei. He says the answer to this is the era of the Mashiach that will usher in a new level of height to the world that is not a further growth, a further evolution, a continuity of the level of the world. Rather, it's a Madrega Hadosho. It's a level which never existed. A level which never existed, and a level which is contrary to this world. Therefore, it cannot come through a continuity of the previous growth. When something is created and slowly it's going through the process of maturation, that's because it's reaching a totality which was there potentially. If the era of the Mashiach, which the Melech HaMashiach would bring to the world, would be the culmination or the maturity of the world, then this would be contrary to the logical process. But the era is not the culmination. It's not the maturation. It's a Madrega Navaya Chadosho. It's a new level that the world never had before. And not only that, but it's a level which is contrary to the world. So therefore, now, firstly, it's not a continuity of what we find in the world. And secondly, it's so much to the contrary that what we find in the world will have to be removed first before the level of the Mashiach can arrive. Or the coming of the Mashiach itself will cause the previous levels of the world to become void and to disappear. For this reason, we can understand, he says, the pattern, the 7-year pattern which precedes the Mashiach. Gemara brings that the first year is partial drought, because as we come close to the advent of the Mashiach, that level is going to cause a destruction, a nullification of the levels of the world, since they are contrary. So the first year is partial drought. The second year, as we come closer, there'll be total drought. The third year, as we come closer, there'll be a devastating famine. fourth year, the Gemara says, will be seiva ve'ena seiva, partial abundance. Some places an abundance, some places not. That's because that's right in the middle. And by that time, the influence of the Mashiach is starting to turn the world into this new level. So we will find that it turns. It's turned from the bottom, and now a new level is coming. Fifth year, great abundance, both physically and spiritually. It's a seva godel, great abundance. Eichlim, v'sheisin u'shmeichim. Everybody will drink, they will eat, they will rejoice. V'teirech is Jerusalem deho. And spiritually, Torah will return to the world. That's in the sixth year. The seventh year will be kolos. This even a greater, excuse me, in the sixth year will be kolos, will be the sound of the Shefer HaGodol, which shows that he has come even closer into the world. The seventh year states there will be a great war in which Israel will destroy its enemies, because by that time he is so close to the world. Israel has come into its ultimate strength, and all of its enemies that stand for the evil will be subdued. And then after the 7 years, the Mashiach will come. So this is the process of the days prior to the coming of the Mashiach. An origin for this, a shadish for this, we find in the Gemara in Erechin Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara writes, Kinor shel Migdosh shel Zayin Nimi. It states when Dovid HaMelech wrote about the instrument in the Beis HaMikdash which praised Hashem, so he said, Seva Smoches Al Tikre Seva El Sheva. The instrument, the harp, which was used to praise Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash in the temple, had 7 strings. This represents the 7 notes. Limeis HaMashiach, in the days of the Mashiach, shel shmeina nimin. But in the days of the Mashiach, a new harp will come, and it will have 8 strings, as it states, lamnatzeach ala shminis. Now this doesn't mean merely another instrument. It means another note. Music has 7 notes. Not anymore. But that's in our world. When Melech HaMashiach comes, there'll be an 8th string added to the instrument and an 8th note added to music. Ulaylam haba, and in the world to come, asorinim, there'll be 10 strings and 10 notes. Shenemar ale osor ve ale novel. Hodu la Hashem bikinor be novel osor. Now what is the meaning of this? The first meaning of firstly, what we learn from here is that there'll be different levels. There's the level of this world, and like when we had our Beis HaMikdash, and that was a level of 7 notes to praise Hashem. There's a further level of when the Melech HaMashiach will come, and that'll be a higher level of recognition and praise of Hashem. 8 notes,
And then there's even a further level in the world to come, which will be built on a praise of 10 notes. Now, what do these figures mean? What do they represent? It says as follows. Our world is a world of seven. As it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 7 days. So seven refers to the physical world that we live in today. It definitely has a level of spiritual kedusha also, and that's the Shabbos. So seven. The world to come is a totally non-physical world, Olam Haba. And that's represented with the number 10. And the letter of the Hebrew alphabet that represents 10 is a Yud. A Yud, when it's written, is basically a Nekuda Dat. The dot is something which is non-physical because it has no dimension. Everything physical means that there's some dimension to it. And the yud doesn't have a dimension because as long as you divide it, you take a dot and you divide it and you subdivide it again, it is still a dot. There is no dimension. So that's a non-physical world. Now, there's a world in between. A world that will be physical. Shmuel said in the Gemara, Ein bein Yemeis HaMashiach Ve'ele Bazeh Ele Shibud Malchiz Bilvat, that when the Mashiach comes, we cannot expect physical changes in the world. The physical nature will still rule. The only thing physically we might see different is we will not be under the subjugation of the nations of the world. But that's from a physical perspective. But from a spiritual perspective, it will be a new level. So this will be a world somewhere in between. Therefore, what signifies this is the harp with the 8 strings. So we have the harp with the 7. That's what they used in the Beis HaMikdash. In our times, when the Beis HaMikdash, when the temple stood, the days of Mashiach will have a harp with an 8 strings, and in the world to come, with 10. Now, to give a little more explanation into this, seven represents in the Torah ribui and pirut, multitudes. Many times when the Torah wants to give an example of a multitude, it says seven. For example, there's a pasuk that states b'derech echod yetzu u'b'shiva drochim yonusu. They will go out in one way and then flee in 7 ways. We're showing that your enemies will become dispersed and they will run away from you in 7 different directions. Why does it use the word 7? This always represents something which is dispersed, something, multitudes. Or for example, in Mishlei it states Kisheva Yipol Tzadik V'kom. The righteous fall 7 times and they stand up. Why 7? 7 represents something of a multitude. And this world is a world of dispersion and a multitude. How do we know that? If we look at in the creation of the world, in Bereishis, Perek Beis, Posuk Ches, states as follows: Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan BeEden Mikedem. By Yosem Shomes Odem Ashi Yotzar. Kodesh Baruch Hu planted the Garden of Eden, and he placed man there. And there he grew all of the beautiful trees. And the Pasuk Yud it states, V'nohor yeitze me'eden lahashkeses agon, a river came out from Eden to water the garden, u'mishom yiporeid v'hoyo le'arba roshim, and from there it dispersed, it separated, and it became four different tributaries. We see that the river came from one source, but when it came into this world, it dispersed, yiporeid, and it became four different rivers. The nature of this world, it's shadish, its source is one. But once we're in this world, this is known as the Olam HaPirud, the Olam HaRibui, the world of division, the world of dispersion, the world of many. It is for this reason why we find that this world is prone to machlekes, to constant strife. Right from the beginning, when man and woman had their first children, Cain and Hevel, Cain murdered Hevel, right from the very beginning of days. And history has been the constant repetition of strife, of machlekes. And that is because the world is prone to it. There's no unity in this world. This is known as a world of disunity, the world of Pirud, where its source was one, but when it reached this world, it divided. A world of division. That's why it is so difficult to find shalom in this world, which is just contrary to it. And because of that, the name of Hashem and his throne is concealed in this world. It states, V'hoya b'yemahu y'Hashem echod u'shmei echod, that on that day, referring to a day that will come, then Hashem's name is one. He will be known as one. He will be known to everyone. His throne will be one. But on this day, today, in our world, now, that's very difficult. Because the Almighty represents one. Echod. He represents unity. And how can unity be found in a world whose very nature is that of Pirud, that of division, dispersion, of separation? This is also why we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, he created one man, but from this man came out Shivim Umais V'Shivim Lashenis, 70 nations and 70 languages. In the beginning of the Torah, Kulam Sofe Echos, they all were one tongue, all of the people were one nation, and they should have been one nation because they all came from one set of parents. But they caused the dispersion. They caused division. And from there came Shivim Umais, the Shivim Lashonis, 70 nations. Again we find seven. So seven units of 10. 70 nations and 70 languages. In this world, the Chazal gave three names to. The first is what we mentioned, It's a world of pirud, a world of division. Secondly, it's referred to as the world of Helam. The name Olam comes from the Hebrew word Helam, Lishalem, to conceal. And thirdly, they refer to this world as Alma de Shikra, the world of lies, of deceit. And this is all for the same reason, because it is the nature of this world to conceal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayemahu, on that day, then he will be one, his name will be one, his throne will be one. But as long as he's in this world, he is concealed. This world has the power and the nature to cast a fog, a smoke screen, darkness, to conceal the Almighty. Because Hashem is concealed, and Hashem is the single source for the world, Nar Yetzim Eden, the river came, it was one river, where did it come from? It came from Hashem. But because that source is concealed, so the Achdus, the unity of the world, is concealed. And once the unity is concealed, so then V'hoyol La'arba Roshim, it's Yiporeid, it becomes divided into many. Actually, the whole concept of Avodah Zarah, of idolatry, is the concept which is contrary to the oneness of Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu is one, rules everything. Avodah Zarah is idolatry, is there are many forces that rule over many parts of the world. And that's a product of this world. So it becomes a world of division, and from there, and a world of machlekes, and from there, a world of sheker, a world of deceit. And this is why the Chazal referred to this world as the world of pizor and pirut, of division, of strife, the world of helam, which conceals Hashem, and Alma de Shikra, where the deceit therefore becomes strengthened. In the days of the Mashiach, though, when the Melech HaMashiach will come, everything will be contrary, because it states that the Melech HaMashiach will bring the name of Hashem to the fore. V'noharu kolo amim, and all of the nations of the world will recognize Hashem, and they will come up and want to learn from His wisdom and His Torah. So the oneness of Hashem will be revealed in the world, and by this the world will be united. And the Melech HaMashiach will be a king, and he will be a king over the entire world. States Shaila Melech, a tribute to the king. Ba'u kol ha'amim, all of the nations of the world will come to bring him a tribute, because they will want to serve him. And a king unites the world, and also a king judges his people. States that the Melech HaMashiach will be from David, who will be from Yehuda. And Lo Yosu Shevet Mi Yehuda, the staff of judgment will never be removed from Yehuda. He'll judge the people in truth. So, the oneness of Hashem will be revealed, which will bring a united world, which will bring Shalom. And He will judge the people in truth. So no longer will it be a world of division, or where Hashem will be concealed, or a world of deceit. This is why the Gemara brings Lo ba Eliyahu el alasis shalom ba'ilam, that when Eliyahu comes, he will be the prime minister of the Melech HaMashiach. He comes to create shalom, because the era of the Mashiach is that of one which will be perfect peace, unity in the world. Now we can understand a little better what the significance of 8 is. The significance of 7, we said, referred to Pizor, multitudes. When you have many and they're not united, 70 nations, but they were not united. 8 is a level higher, where the 8 is the one that unites the 7. 8 represents 7 and 1. 7 represents the multitudes. The 1 of the 8 represents the power, the force to unite. This will be the level of the world at the time of the Melech HaMashiach. He will come and he will have that power where he can unite the world. And this will be the level of Shminis, a new level to the world, contrary to the very nature of our world. We find in a number of places we find the significance of 8. One, for example, is the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, used to wear 8 garments, not like the rest of the Kohanim. And he alone was the one that was able to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, on Yom Kippur. No other Kohen, no other priest was allowed to. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that place was known as the single place, the one place, the oneness where Hashem united himself with the world and with Klal Yisrael. When Moshe would come to the sanctuary, Hashem's voice came into the sanctuary to Moshe and was taught to the world. This is how Torah united itself with the world. And the Torah tells us, where did Moshe hear the voice from? Me'ala Kruvim. On the Kruvim, the two images, which were ala kaporis, ala ha'oren, which was on the top, the covering of the oren, which was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And there was only the oren and the Torah. So that was the place in which Hashem united himself with the world and united the world. And the Kohen Gadol had to be someone of that level. And he wore always his 8 garments, which represented that level. And he alone was allowed to go into that chamber. Another such example is we find on Sukkot. Sukkot is 7 days, according to the Torah. Then we have an 8th day, and that's called Shmini Atzeres. B'yema Shmini Atzeres Tia Lochem. That's another Yom Tov. That's the 8th day of Sukkot. During the entire 7 days of Sukkot, a ribui, great multitude of sacrifices, were brought in the Beis HaMikdash in the temple. Every day a different number was brought. At the end of the 7 days, they totaled 70 shivim porim, 70 bulls. The Chazal say, the sages say, what did this represent? On Sukkot we brought sacrifices not only for ourselves but also for the entire world. So we brought 70 for all of the 70 nations of the world. This was during the 7 days of Sukkot. Then the Torah tells us, what should we bring on Shmini Atzeres? If every day we were bringing for 7 days and we brought 70, so on the 8th day of the Yantiv, what should we bring? Shmini Atzeres. It says, par echod, one par, only one. And that was for Israel. So we see that during the 7 days, great multitudes were brought. And that was for the multitudes of the world. But they were divided. The 8th day, that represented now a power that could come and unite the 7. And therefore, on the 8th day, Israel would bring one par, just one. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Midrash brings par echod, li'am echod, one bull for a nation that's one, that is not divided. Therefore, we can understand now that it states in the 7 year period, which will precede the Melech HaMashiach, so we find constant rumbling in the world. As he comes close, so the whole nature of the world sounds like it's falling apart. It's changing. And there's each year, first year, second year, third year, there's a greater fall in this world. The fourth year, he is coming so close that we can start feeling the new level. So the new level, the fourth year already is much better. There's abundance in some places, not all places. Fifth year, there's great abundance, both physically and spiritually. Physical abundance and Torah returns to the world. Sixth year, there are thunders and shofar. Seventh year, Klal Yisrael comes to its ultimate strength and a great war breaks out between Israel and the nations that want to destroy it, and Israel destroys all of its enemies. Then, after 7 years, in the 8th year, he comes. Therefore, he comes after the 7 year period. The source of the Melech HaMashiach, the sages tell us, is David HaMelech, King David. And therefore he's known, like here in the Gemara, he's referred to as the Ben David, the son, the descendant of David. And that's why the sages tell us that David himself was a dugma, was Me'ein Melech HaMashiach. He himself was very similar to the individual that will come. It's for this reason, the Maral writes, that we find that during the time of David HaMelech existed the greatest unity and peace in Israel. Israel, once David became king and his throne was established, Israel was no longer divided. And it remained that way during his days and during his son's days, Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon. The fact is, in King Solomon's days, the Gemara says he ruled over the entire world, so he united the entire world. And he built the Beis HaMikdash. And this was all from the power of David. And it's for this reason that David was the one who made war against Edom. Edom is Esav. And Esav is the greatest threat to the oneness of Hashem, to the oneness of Yaakov. Esav was the counterpart of Yaakov. From this, he writes, therefore, we should not wonder at why it takes so long for the Melech HaMashiach to come. 2,000 years since the Churban HaBayis, destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But we should not wonder why it takes so long. And why so many difficulties happen to us because he brings a level to the world that was never known to the world, and it's impossible to describe this level, and therefore the sages always just wrote very sparingly about this. It's a level which is cannot be known to us. It is beyond us. And it can come only after the nature of this world is nullified. Because just as light and darkness cannot serve together, they cannot make peace, so can the era of the Mashiach not serve in this world. He represents Shalom. He represents one and unity. And our world is a nature of constant war and constant strife from the day the world was created until today. He represents the Pirsum, the revelation to the world of Hashem. Our world represents constantly the concealment of Hashem, like we see all of the time. And he represents Mishpat, judgment and truth. And our world represents Nedor HaEmes, where truth is lost. Therefore, they cannot serve together. And there has to be first the nullification, the loss of our world. It's for this reason that we find that the Mashiach will only come, the Gemara says, with Yesurim, with great difficulties. Because Yesurim, trauma and difficulties, this represents stress and strain. When you have two forces that march together, there is no stress and strain. But when you have two forces that are opposite of each other, and they're pulling in opposite directions, then you have stress and strain, Hishnagdus, and from here comes Yesurim. From here comes great trauma and difficulties. And the era of the Mashiach is an enormous force, which is the antithesis to the force of our world. And therefore, the closer we come to the era of the Mashiach, the greater the Ishnagdus, the greater the opposition, the opposing forces, the greater the strain, the greater the Yesurim. And this is what the sages refer to as Chavle HaMashiach. Chavle HaMashiach means the birth pangs of the era of the Mashiach. And it's similar to the birth pangs that we find when a woman gives birth. There is stress and strain and trauma, because you have two forces that are opposing each other. You have a child that wants to come into the world. Meanwhile, the child is locked in the womb, in the body of the woman. And you have these two forces that are in opposition. And the nearer to the birth, the greater the opposition, the greater the forces, the greater the strain and the stress. And the same with the Melech HaMashiach. He's a force that wants to come into the world, but he is locked in the nations. And the nations in our world does not allow him to. But the closer we come to his days, the greater the opposing forces. The greater the opposing forces, the greater the stress and the strain. And these are the yisurin, the difficulties, the trauma of the ikvus of the Mashiach, of the days preceding the Mashiach. And therefore the Chazal, the sages, refer to them as the Chavle HaMashiach, the birth pangs of the Mashiach. Just as the child who wants to be born has to destroy the fabric of the body which held him in order to free himself, he also must destroy the nature of the world which has him locked in. And for this reason we find the Chazal tell us that David HaMelech, King David, was destined to be a person of great yisurin, to suffer. We learn about David's life. It was a life, he had a wonderful life. He came to levels unequal by people. He came to the Vekus, close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he suffered greatly. He was a fugitive, and many wanted to destroy him. And the Gemara says, why do we find that he suffered so much? And the Medrash says, L'gimel chalokim nishalku ayisurim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the cup of suffering. He divided it in three measures. Echad l'David. One third of all suffering in the world was set aside for David. Echad l'Deri Shel Shmad. Another third was set aside for the generations of Shmad. These were the generations that lived under the tyrants and the persecutions and the torture of the evil nations that wanted to destroy Torah and mitzvahs from us. Dorei Shel Shmad, the generation of Rebbe Kiva v'Chavarei, who had to endure the Romans, or the generation of Matishohu and Yehuda Maccabee that had to endure the Greek Empire. The echad, and one third of suffering, was given over, set aside for the days which will precede the coming of the Mashiach. And the reason for this is because David, he is the one who first started to destroy the evil nations against Israel. He was the Sheirish, he was the source of the Mashiach, of this opposition. And then there were the generations that had to endure the persecutions of the evil nations for Torah and mitzvahs. They carried on this battle. And the conclusion of this battle to bring truth and peace to the world will be by the Melech HaMashiach. And therefore, those three will have had or will have the majority of the suffering of the world. One final point. The Gemara refers to this person as Bar Nakli, the fallen one. And the Gemara explained, why did you call him Bar Nakli? Because it states that on that day, Vayimahu Okim Esukas Dover Anofalas, I will erect the sukkah of David, which is fallen. So he's the fallen one. He comes from David. Even though we said that he will bring in a whole new level to the world, we see that he also, though, is attached to something that was before. He's not totally new to the world, but he's coming from the sukkah, he's coming from the throne of David that was fallen, or that was falling, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will stop it from falling. And that's what states in the Torah, Layoser Shevet MiYehuda, when Jacob blessed his sons, he said to Yehuda, he says, the staff of judgment and of kingship will never be removed from Yehuda, midovid ve'elech, once David will take the throne. So we see that there is a continuous line of kingship, a continuous lineage from the time of David all the way to the time of the Melech HaMashiach, except he falls, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu then will prevent him from falling anymore. We can ask a question: where is this lineage? Where is this continuity? What do you mean there's a continued lineage of kingship from Yehuda or from David until the time of the Mashiach? The Gemara asks this question. Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Aleph. And the Gemara says, Elu Roshei Goliyeh Shebavavu, or Anoshim Chashuvim Shebavavu, Shebechol Dovador. That in every generation, those who assume leadership of Israel, or those who stand up for the truth of Hashem and the truth of His Torah, they are the continuity of the Shevet Yehuda, of the staff of Yehuda, until the day when the Mashiach will come. So from here we learn that from the time of David to the time of the Mashiach, which is a long period, the power of that kingship is in the world, except it's a fallen power. Sukkos HaNefoles, it's falling, it's crouching. But the chain is not severed, and therefore when the time comes for him to come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts him up. And who keeps this line from being severed? It states, these are Roshei Goliyeh Shebavavel, or the Anoshim Chashuvim. These are those who lead Israel, those who stand up for Torah, for mitzvahs, for the Shem Hashem, for the name of Hashem, for Shalom in the world. From here we see that everyone that stands up for Torah and mitzvahs and for the name of Hashem and to make Shalom in the world, he is strengthening the line of lineage, the line of ancestry, from the time of Yehuda and David to the time of the Melech HaMashiach. And this is what the Gemara brings in Masechta Brochis in the first perek. It states, Kol mi sheyesh bei das, a person who perfects himself with the das of Torah, with the knowledge of Torah, he pursues the knowledge of Torah and becomes great in the knowledge of Torah, ki ilu nivne beis hamikdash biyomov, It's as if the Beis HaMikdash is being built, because he is strengthening that line which will eventually come to replace the current nature of the world with this new level, with this era of the Mashiach. And therefore, in our days that we've gone through so much suffering, we've seen so much suffering, and it's been so long with the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, these are all signs of great strife, of great opposition. Almost everything that the Gemara speaks about, we have seen. Neder Emes, where truth is lost, and Nimoasu Yerechet, and people are not interested in decency, and so on. This all is what the Gemara tells us. The force is working against each other. And let us hope and pray that it will be soon when we will see the advent of the Melech HaMashiach. And again we will be zeicha to have our binyan Beis HaMikdash, and in the city of Dover HaMelech, Yerushalayim Yirat Kodesh.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.